Let me go ahead and discuss some of these Baja offspring items. The reason why I labeled them as such is that although you might not see them in some cases directly tied to a Baja accomplishment, I still think they're Baja inspired. And so, for example, to me, we know that from the public charge evolution, we started seeing things when the Foreign Affairs Manuals was modified to encourage or direct consular officers to consider cases in the spirit of this executive order. I always wondered what the spirit was. Well, the spirit moves in mysterious ways, apparently. And for public charge back in January of last year, we know the Department of State led the charge on the modification of public charge, and we're seeing its impact on a variety of different levels, everything from the questions that were mentioned earlier in one of the presentations about consular officers asking, "What was there a test of the labor market to the applicant?" Looking at, what are you being paid? But it's not something that requires the payment of, for example, an H-1B, the higher of the actual or the prevailing wage for the area of intended employment. So you have to prepare defensively and sort of reverse engineer every single case because you know that you're going to have connectivity to face. What happens at the consular post doesn't stay at the consular post. It is linked to Customs and Border Protection Review. It is linked to Department of Homeland Security Review. It is linked to the Fraud Detection and National Security Division. So every case that you prepare, you have to make sure that the employee knows the parameters of what they can do and that the employer knows if someone calls from a enforcement perspective, a compliance perspective, what's the protocol to follow. There's a new compliance member of the House in immigration, and you have to be extremely cautious with it. Not that everybody was committing fraud in the past. It's just hard to explain this stuff, you know? It's complicated stuff. And so saying, where do you work? Well, believe it or not, that could be complicated. And so I think that the public charge evolution from January of last year with the State Department, and then we have the Department of Homeland Security regulation that we're waiting on. We have the Department of State regulation that's in effect but not going to be implemented until the form gets finalized. And on top of that, on November 3rd, we have the insurance issue that has yet to be enjoined, but AILA is supposed to be filing a suit next week, among other organizations, is my understanding from Jesse Bless, the new litigation staff member at AILA National. We're probably going to have to be dealing with it on the ground. Facebook posts yesterday, which nowadays I just hang out on social media, it seems, to find out what's going on at different locations. What I'm seeing is that copies of notices already being issued by the State Department about you need to be prepared at your interview to deal with this insurance requirement. And somebody else shared today a notice from Pakistan, Department of State, consular office there, saying, no, we're denying because you need to show me proof of how you paid for the birth of your three children as part of the denial of the immigrant visa, or in this case, I guess we'll call it a soft refusal. So I think we're going to see some very unfortunate challenges in the next few months to try to deal with this. The H-1B registration tool, just a brief mention that I know Chev already spoke about it, but you got a plan now about how am I going to deal with cases on this H-1B registration tool if it moves forward, and how do I price it out? My understanding right now is that a lot of people are moving forward with saying we need to go ahead and get these LCAs done, labor condition applications on H-1Bs, as a part of our process. So we've already talked about increasing RFEs, outright denials, the fact that you have that initial evidence list and that you can get a denial without even being allowed to provide additional evidence. How are you changing your practice? Well, you're being more robust in your intake, and you're being more robust in your supporting documents, and yet you can still be stuck in a problem. So please also, this last point is just mentioning what I talked about earlier. There is more interconnectivity than when I started practicing law in 1985 by a long shot. 9/11, there's a big change. And, of course, the USCIS has just indicated that in 2020 they hope to have an online 485, an I-129. So that's the same thing as the State Department having their DS forms online. you have to make sure you know what has been submitted regarding this applicant so you don't walk them off a cliff or the employer. So what I'd like to shift now to is, you know, the era of Cuccinelli. And I'm extremely frustrated. I don't know if there's a less polite term I'd like to use.